You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702.
So, how do you watch your favorite television shows? Do you still prefer live or recorded television? Do you still consume free-to-air content? I want us to talk about the changing landscape in the South African television audience. I mean, these days, viewers are less interested in what is the linear live TV, right? They prefer tailoring their content according to their interests. But television has managed to remain relevant today while trying to keep up, of course, with the pace with the online counterparts, because we've got so many options now, right? So there's this shift in the market to the digital services. You know, think DSTV, OpenView. There's now this digital terrestrial television. We now have subscription-based video on demand where you pay a monthly fee to access TV shows, series, movies, sports. You know, a lot of us have Showmax, Netflix, Amazon Prime, you know, and what's available now in South Africa, Disney. So what impact are these options having on the free-to-air television, if any? What's the impact even on the DSTV subscription? And the content that's even created for the free-to-air television, how is it? And I want you to share your experiences on what are you streaming with, what are you watching, how are you watching it. I'll take your calls on 011-883-0702. You're welcome to send us your WhatsApp voice notes as well on 072-702-1702. I've got three guests who are going to guide us through this discussion this morning. Gary Whittaker, who is the CEO of the Broadcast Research Council of South Africa. Gary, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
We've got Tinus Ferreira, who is an independent TV critic. Tinus, thank you for also making time. Good morning.
Hello.
And we've got Thandi Smith, who is the head of programs at Media Monitoring Africa. Thandi, thank you for also making time. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Clement. Thanks so much for having me.
Let me start with you, Thandi. How big is this television audience in South Africa?
I seem to be getting a weird noise on the line. Can you just repeat that?
Ah, you know what I'll do, Thandi? I'm putting you back to the producers now, and we're going to try and sort out that line. Gary, while we sort that line with Thandi, because of all these changes that are coming into the market, is that having an impact on the television audience?
It's a very good question, Clement. South Africa is very unique if you look at it in terms of other global markets.
Mm.
South Africa is very unique because we deal with very unique factors. We're the only market that really deals with a myriad of obstacles. So as an example, we have load shedding. That affects viewing. That affects media consumption in general.
Mm.
We've just come out of a pandemic. We're currently going through a digital migration where we're switching off analog signals and we're moving to DTT.
Yeah.
We've had many new entrants into the market, such as Netflix, Disney Plus, HBO, etc. The list goes on. So there's a lot more competition. There's a lot more fragmentation. You also look at what's on offer in terms of local providers, Showmax, in terms of new channels coming onto the DSTV platform, for example. All of these factors lead to flux in the market, a change in behavior, a change in habits. I'll give you an example in terms of lockdown. We saw changes in the way video is consumed in the household. In terms of our measurement, we measure what is happening on the TV set. So if anything is played via a set-top box, a DSTV decoder, or is even cast from a phone to the TV, we capture that. But what we are seeing is an increase in usage of other devices other than the TV. And that means that in the home, there's multiple screening going on. And I think in the past, before lockdown, there was multiple screening in terms of watching your TV set and possibly being online, whether you're consuming video, publications, social media, etc. But what we're seeing in a TV space, linear or non-linear, is that there's viewing going on the TV set, and there's viewing going on mobile devices or computers in the home. So there's multiple platforms, multiple devices being used, and we're not seeing that change back now that we've come out of lockdown. Once you start a habit, what we're seeing in terms of the South African landscape, it seems to continue.
That's really interesting. Tinus, what changes have you observed in the way that TV, like people are just consuming television? Getty speaks about load shedding, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic, digital migration, these new entrants into the market. And you've got people who've been asking and demanding, you know, more local content on the local providers. What changes are you seeing as a result of some of these factors?
So exactly like Gary said, those two are the big two trends. We suffer, and sort of what I can also tell listeners up front first is be glad that we in South Africa have the most stable, most sophisticated TV rating system in the whole of the African continent. So it's like the doctor or the nurse taking your pulse or taking your blood pressure. Mm. You get actually a very accurate picture, and that picture helps advertisers and ad buyers and ad planners to actually plan where they want to spend their money and what the actual audience is on anything from SABC1 to ETV or a specific DSTV channel, like let's say History Channel or whatever. So when we get load shedding, we see very big dips. Lots of suburbs at the same time just don't have electricity, so we lose those TV households. And then also in the digital migration with the government switching off fintech signal transmitting towers, we also sort of see households just sort of disappearing. So those two are the two big sort of danger things for South Africa's TV ratings. But beyond that, we also, something that Gary hasn't yet touched upon, which is also interesting, people are still using their TV screens, but what's also interesting and increasing is people using their TV screens but not to watch television. So it's your children playing video games, e-gaming, let's say also you watch, you switch your television on that you watch YouTube. So it's sort of like using the television for, or what my parents do is they switch the TV on but to listen to radio, for instance. Mm-hmm. So all of those kinds of things sort of, on the one hand, eat into your TV ratings, but as you say, there's more people watching on also different other mobile devices that, again, also grow our audience. So it's a very exciting time and a space to sort of work in South Africa's TV industry, and to sort of for someone like me who track the ratings, to just see how it sort of changed the whole time.
So Tandi, I'm hoping you can hear me better now.
Yeah, that I think we have a better line.
Wonderful. So Getty touched on even in things like the switch off of the analog transmitters in the digital migration process. What's the impact of this you know, program by government in how people are yeah. consuming their television?
Well, as it stands, we still have 36% of the population reliant on analog television. That is a third of South Africa's TV watching population still relies on that signal. And once that signal switches off, their screens go black. When your screens go black, that's a complete block of access to access to reliable, accurate, credible information. And not only information, but also entertainment, edutainment. It's a massive issue. There's going to be a huge impact. And, you know, we at Media Monitoring Africa are calling for the delay in the switch off, purely to make sure that the 36% of people who rely on the analog are switched over to digital through the installation of the set-top boxes. Now, that process is happening very slowly. And, you know, it's one of the things that has plagued the delay of the switch off of analog signal for years. But to have 36% of the population, they have their TV screens switched off essentially, and have that lack of access to our public broadcaster is, you know, borderline infringing on your right to access to information.
Yeah, I interviewed the Minister of Communications, Kumbudzo Ntshavheni, a couple of months ago. And one of the questions I asked, why this insistence when you still have such a low number of people that have registered? And I think at the time we had about 260,000 households, yes, that registered by the 31st of October 2021. And there's a question around when exactly they're going to be connected. And the problem with that is once the switch off happens, they're just completely off the grid. And you say, as you said, they lose access to vital news, vital information and education as well. I want us to look at even the content that's being provided by even the local providers. And we're going to look at that after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. I'm going to take your calls as well, 011-883-0702. We're going to look at that after the break, not after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. So we'll take your calls and WhatsApps as well that are coming through as we continue with Gary, Tinas and Tandi. It's 20 minutes after 10.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702. Let's walk the talk.
23 minutes after 10 o'clock. Let's continue the conversation with Gary, Tinas and Tandi. We're talking about the changing landscape in the South African television audience. I think they've done a great job in helping us understand what has impacted how we consume television. And I wonder how you consume television. Do you still watch free to air? I can't remember the last time I watched SABC 1, 2, 3, and ETV. It's been a number of years. What I do, though, is I've got Amazon, I've got Netflix, I've got Showmax, I've got Disney, and that's really the content that I consume mostly, far apart from the television news channels, Newsroom Africa, ENCA, SABC News, CNN, Sky, and the other international news agency. How are you consuming your content? Do you still watch free-to-air channels? Gary, I'm interested in what people are watching. What trends are we seeing?
Well, Clement, it's quite complex because I was just listening to you say, you know, you hardly watch free-to-air, and you fit into a certain segment of the population, and your viewing habits are guided by many variables. Some of the most common variables are you as a person in South Africa, what do you have access to? So you have access to the internet and possibly Wi-Fi, stable, fast connection. That opens up your options. So you're able to consider the likes of a Netflix. You're able to cast YouTube onto your TV screen, for example, or watch it on your phone. So you're in a part of a segment in South Africa that has a lot more choice when it comes to what we call OTT or streaming services. Now, on our panel, our TV measurement panel, we, as it stands now, in terms of the universe, based on our most recent universe update, which is actually going to be updated in this year because of all the flux that's going on, we usually see around about a 50-50 split between pay and free-to-air viewers. So if you're on you're a pay viewer, that means that for the majority, you have a DSTV subscription. And if you're a free-to-air viewer, then you're watching SABC 1, SABC 2, SABC 3, and ETV. And those are your options as a free-to-air viewer. So on the one hand, you're flicking between four channels, and on the other hand, you're flicking between hundreds of channels on DSTV, and it all comes down to what part of the market you fit into. Now, if we look at South Africa, we have the highest Gini coefficient in the world. I don't know if we currently have the highest. I think we're in the top three. So we live in the most unequal population, or one of the most unequal populations in the world. So we've almost got four worlds in one. So we've got first world down to fourth world. And you can just imagine how your options are strained depending on which segment you fall into. So people that don't have access to the internet, they are limited to free-to-air, and a large majority of our population fits into that segment. If we look at the distribution of wealth, there's a very small upper end in South Africa. There's a big mass market and a big lower end of the market. So there still are lots of viewers for free-to-air. But having said that, as internet access becomes more available, becomes more cost-effective, infrastructure improves. You know, with the analog switch off, there's new spectrum being allocated, which enables the telcos to up their ante in terms of what they provide to the market. As it becomes more affordable, more accessible, well, then you'll see again flux in the market. And what that flux is, we don't quite know. We can see what's happening in other markets, absolutely. But like I said, South Africa, we're very, very unique in terms of the circumstances that we face here.
Tinas, I wonder what pressure DStv is feeling as a result of these new entrants. And how people who've got, you know, especially the premium subscription for DStv are beginning to think around that relationship with the company. What are you seeing in terms of just the competition and the demand for DStv to also come up with this competitive content, because they want to keep the audience so people are not spending more time on other platforms like Netflix and Amazon and other services? Yes, Tinas?
Oh, sorry. Yes, so it's quite interesting there. If we look, MultiChoice just sort of announced their financial year results for the year until the end of March this year. Once again, the proportion of DStv premium subscribers decreased. It's the fifth year in a row. And that's obviously happening because of subscription streaming services, because you can now sort of pay for a Netflix and a Disney Plus and an Amazon Prime Video, have all of those three, and you sort of build your own DStv for, and that's cheaper than what it costs for DStv Premium. So what MultiChoice has been doing the past few years is they've invested, and they've actually almost taken over the role of our public broadcaster, not fully, but because the SABC went through such a lot of financial problems and management problems, they didn't invest in doing what they were supposed to do, which is local content. So MultiChoice came and said, oh, we see a gap, let's do local content in terms of soaps and drama series and things like that. So they sort of, they haven't cornered that market, but they sort of ramped up their investment in terms of local content, although it costs more than buying an overseas American show. And they've sort of started to wean off audiences of sort of watching, let's say, overseas content.
Yeah.
And now with the streamers and them getting cut off, they're not able to buy that content because the streaming, the studio and the streamer is sort of the same company. So the studio keeps their best content for their own streaming service, like Disney Plus or whatever. MultiChoice is accelerating that process of doing local content to keep their viewers. Where the danger is, where does that leave the SABC? Because they also need to do more in terms of compelling local content to keep audiences watching SABC 123 as well.
And that's so interesting. After the headlines, I want us to touch on even just the local content. Are there more people attracted and who want the local content, or do you have more people who are actually fascinated by the international shows that they find on other streaming platforms? We'll look into that after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines, and also your calls and WhatsApp voice notes. It's
your voice,
your questions,
your morning radio with Clement Maniatella.
This is 702.
Well, I'll go to some of your calls and WhatsApp voice notes shortly. Tandi, I wanted to pick up from as Tinas was talking about the content, especially local content that that platforms like DStv are producing. Obviously, when you've got new players entering the market, that means diversity for the audiences, which is great. We must celebrate. But I'm wondering about the content that's on the free-to-air channels. Gary mentioned that a lot of these people don't have the option we have, because connectivity is still a big hindrance in many, many communities in South Africa, and the switch off is happening so slow. What's your observation of the content that's on free to air?
Yeah, I think the points that have been made are spot on. You know, the issues around the infrastructure and connectivity and the cost of connection. I think people tend to forget that, you know, one of the massive hindrances is the cost of access to the internet. But, you know, the SABC, I think, let me start by saying that it's not a debate that the SABC is of critical importance, that the role of a public broadcaster is still so relevant and desperately needed in today's age. But we also know that our public broadcast has been through many, many ups and downs over the last couple of years, financial, political. There's been many, you know, crises that have plagued the public broadcaster. Mm. And we did go through a very rough period where content was impacted, content was affected. And what we have seen over the last few years is a drastic improvement in the content offered on free-to-air platforms and the public broadcast. I think that, you know, we have seen improvement in the quality of local content being offered, and not only in terms of local content production, but also news, current affairs shows, you know, news and entertainment programming. I do think that there has been an improvement, and it speaks to the functioning of the public broadcaster. But we do know that DSTV does run the market when it comes to local content production. Mm,
mm.
And we do see, we do desperately need those powers to shift. People, any person, regardless of their means of access, should be able to watch good quality local content.
Mm. Let's go to some calls now. Muloi, you're calling us from Bloemfontein. Good morning.
All right, Lindsay.
I'm all right. How's it going?
I'm good, good brother. I just want to ask your guest, what is their view, you know, with platforms like DSTV and Netflix, limiting the number of people who can watch at the same time, especially for DSTV, where, you know, what they could do is say, okay, now if people are sharing and can stream, a lot of people can stream at the same time, that means it's more viewers for us and we can sell more ad space, etc.
Mm.
So what's your guest view on that?
Mm. All right, Muloi, thank you so much for that. Tinus, do you want to take that? This is becoming a trend, right? Limiting the number of people who can watch at the same time with that streaming service.
Mm. I think MultiChoice made a mistake there, so they limited it to one stream per DSTV subscriber, and Disney Plus and Netflix, all of these streaming services at least offer like four. So I think let's wait and see. They might make a turnaround and sort that, because it's still watching television is still sort of a family activity, family entertainment thing. You can't really... I don't really see the sense or the logic in limiting it to one stream, because if you pay for the subscription fee as a household, and Gary will even say, when you look at the ratings, it's about TV household, it's not a sole person, a singular person.
Mm-hmm.
In a household, there's a mom and a dad, and the kids want to watch kids TV, and the dad wants to watch sports, or the mom wants to watch sports, and someone wants to watch a soap. If you look at what the streamers do, they allow a few more. Netflix said they're going to crack down and limit the password sharing, but they're not going to make it one like MultiChoice has done. So it's going to be interesting to see if we're going to see maybe a relaxation of that sort of harshly enforced rule that they came up with.
Yeah, yeah.
Listeners, I'm Charlotte from Polokwane. I used to be a DSTV member since 2012, but ever since COVID, because of the repeat, I decided to do the fiber, and I subscribe to Showmax and Netflix, and I don't prefer live TV anymore. I love catch up. Thank you.
Okay.
Good evening, Clement and your guest. I think for most of us, we are still glue to multi-choice DSTV because of the sport. I think if those streaming pages, especially in South Africa, the likes of Netflix and other ones, they can have access and the rights for to broadcast sport. I'm telling you, the likes of this DSTV and their arrogancy, they are going to fall down or lose more of subscribers. More especially because you can see they are the only one in South Africa who have the rights for sport. I don't know why this sporting organization cannot allow to sell at least to two or three companies for their sports right, not to allow them to go and buy to multi-choice, because they even making these big prices every year, they're increasing prices and for repeat. So, and sadly, we have ICASA and Competition Commission. I think if you get those guys to come and explain to us how can the likes of multi-choice not have competition in the country and they let them go free.
Well, Gary, any reflections on that? And this is what you'll get from a lot of people who talk about these exclusive sports rights. And I wonder if that is the draw card, really, for DSTV.
Clement, it's very hard for me to comment on that, as I represent the objective Joint Industry Council for the TV industry. I think for anybody to comment on DSTV's or multi-choice's strategy in terms of that, or the decisions made in terms of, you know, exclusive content only available on their platform, it would have to be them. I would purely be speculating if I was to answer that.
Got that. Let me read some of the messages coming through. Good morning, Clement. I'm a DSTV subscriber. I'm frustrated by the fact that our programs are repeated over and over again in most channels. What has happened to the glory of DSTV? That's anonymous. Another person says, hi, Clement. The free-to-air channels are perfect for me and sports. I do watch DSTV, but for documentary and movies, I go straight to the streaming services. That is Lesufi in Kalfontein. Tandi, some people are complaining about repeats on DSTV. How much of that is a factor on free-to-air?
Well, I think that the issue of repeated programming has been one that has been an issue for many years. I think, if I remember, we did some research a good number of years ago on the percentage of repeated programming. And yes, repeat is an issue, but it also goes to I mean, so many factors go into why repeated programming happens, how it impacts profits, how it impacts or what the license conditions with the ICASA licensing is when it comes to repeated programming. So it's quite a technical issue when it comes to repeat, and people often do complain about it. But you know, I think it speaks to the broader issue of coming back to the local content. But I think that you can also then, you know, start asking yourself the question of if DSTV has an issue of, you know, falling victim to repeating programming so frequently, that you can understand that it happens on free to air as well. But it is a challenge, and you can sort of understand why when people do have access to streaming platforms, why there is a preference to be able to control your own content and your own kind of your own viewings.
Got that. Tinas, was it early this year or even last year? Netflix announced investments. In fact, they've been announcing substantial investments in South Africa. What impact does this have on just the TV landscape and the movement to these new platforms?
It's very interesting and it's very good, and we'll see more of that. And it once again will keep the public broadcaster, or ETV and Mnet and MultiChoice, on their toes, because the overseas players are seeing South Africa, as they do with every country, as a new place where they can also come and sort of spend money on telling stories. So it's very good for the ecosystem overall. It creates more jobs. It grows the industry.
and it also tells the existing ones that they need to up their game if we just started getting Disney Plus, and very soon they also will obviously, like what Netflix has done and the others, will also start do local content. So, local content that gets a world, a global platform. So it's all good, and it will increase the overall money that's being spent on film and TV production in South Africa. So there isn't a negative there. What we can maybe do and look at in terms of legislation in future or regulation is sort of put a cap or a minimum and say you need to spend, these global streamers need to spend. And we're seeing that happening in the European Union and elsewhere. They say, oh, Netflix has to commission or spend so much of budget on local content in this or that country.
Uh-huh. Mtutuzi, you're in Pretoria. Hi.
Hello, Clement.
Hi, I'm Mtutuzi. Go ahead.
Yes, Clement, can I take you down to memory lane? Back in the days, we used to watch things like Rugby World Cup final, African Cup of Nations final, life on our TV screens, and we used to look up to those people. You know, I myself, I used to play soccer. I went to a school of excellence because that thing was available on our TV screen. Even though Ryan Giggs, we used to watch English Premiership on the TV. So now the reason why we are having things like drugs in our community, because our youth now, they are more into social things and like social media. They kept the sports away from the children, you understand, and it's affecting the community. We don't exercise. Normally I used to listen to your shows about sugar, diabetes, health matters, because we're no longer doing those things. Like in school activities, all of those things. Like, it's really affecting us. Like, even a young child when he wants to play rugby, information are you around the person, you understand? In order for him to achieve that goal, it's killing us. That's why we have rugby, Utolewuti, they are 90%, maybe it's white, cricket, 90%. And all those people.
I've got you, Mtutuzi. That's completely been taken away from many communities, and not everybody also has the financial resources to go watch the game live. I'll get Tandi to respond to that after the break.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702. Let's walk the talk.
All right, it's 8 minutes before 11 o'clock. Tandi, let me just get you to respond to Mtutuzi's call, who was talking about social ills in communities and how part of the reason for that is that there's not much to watch anymore. You used to have kids who have you know, fascinated and passionate about soccer, rugby. That was freely available on these free-to-air channels. But the rights, all of that has been commercialized now that it's no longer available, and you've got to have this specific subscription for you to access that kind of content.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. Sporting programming should be considered a public good. You know, the social cohesion, the nation building, the entertainment value that it brings should be far more widely accessible. It shouldn't be restricted to the top few percent of people that could afford the premium DSTV subscription. And this has been a battle in license conditions that has been ongoing. And I think we have seen a few instances where SABC have been able to secure rights to broadcast particular sporting features, but I think it is a battle that we need far more accessibility to sports broadcasting for exactly that. You know, it's not something that we at MMA usually monitor or analyze, because we focus on news media and current affairs programming. But it should be considered a public good. We need to have far more access. to sporting programming for exactly that reason.
Absolutely. Gary, there's a question here for you. Listener says, Clement, Gary mentioned earlier a panel. How do these TV measurement panels work? And what happens when an analog signal is switched off to a home with a panel?
Very good question. So in terms of our TV study in South Africa, it's called TAMS. We have a representative sample that fills that panel. We've got over 3,000 homes that represent every segment of the market in South Africa, and their data comes through literally second by second, actually, and gives us a view of ratings of all TV, right? So households are made up of families, and every single person in the household, they're able to have their viewing monitored via our own set-top box, which we call a meter. So it's a meter that's in the home. When you sit down as a member of the household, there's a remote control and you press a button. And once you press that button, your viewing behavior is recorded and it gets sent back to our supplier, Nielsen. They process the data and that gets delivered to the market so that we're able to see what happens in terms of viewership of channels, programs, et cetera, time of day, you name it. Now, in terms of an analog switch-off, our panel is a representation of what happens in South Africa in terms of the TV universe. So we don't impact on the panel. The panel behavior guides us. So if we have houses going dark, we monitor that. If there is a dip in viewership due to analog signal being lost, we record that. So you'll see where the dips are. You'll see whether it's in various regions, neighborhoods, et cetera, segments. You'll see very, very quickly where the impact is happening. So it's a naturally occurring phenomenon. So just as we would see declines in viewership, we would also see new entrants in terms of DTT set-top boxes on our panel, which should naturally represent what's going on in the market. And we are seeing that in terms of claims made by the government, in terms of how many set-top boxes are in the market. There's actually quite a close correlation. But again, we also see the viewership patterns changing depending on what region has had the analog switch off, and also how long the settling in period has been, because not all regions were switched off at once. There's still regions that are yet to be switched off. There's the Free State, which was the first switched off, and there's been a settling in period there. And we certainly see audience trends happening in the Free State as well as other regions.
Yeah. Tinus, here's a question here for you. Listener says, hi, Clem, and I'm interested to know by how much streaming and broadcast increased over the past couple of years. So what impact have we seen? Yeah, Tinus, in terms of streaming services. Yeah, someone is asking if we actually have the numbers of how much that's increased over the last couple of years.
They don't want to give us numbers, and that's still something that we should get Nielsen for us to also actually give us independent results and things for. What they do is they're a bit sneaky. The companies themselves will say, oh, they have a new record for this show or a new ratings record for that show. That goes for Netflix, for Showmax, for Disney Plus, for all of these. They are growing, and they are growing very fast. I don't have specific numbers because they don't want to give their numbers to us as the public. Mm. But we also have to remember that it's from a very small base. So if they say, oh, we've doubled our ratings, it could be that three people watched and now six people watched.
Mm.
But it is growing. They are growing. But the important thing about streaming services also, even though it is very popular, it is still additive, I would say. So people will have the streaming services, but they still keep their sort of DSTV, or they still watch the SABC or ETV. It will still change in future, where you probably get like more households in South Africa just watching streaming only. But at the moment, it is fast growing, but people still use it as a sort of an add-on.
Ah, I see. And not just a one stable platform. Gary Whittaker, Tinus Ferreira, Tandy Smith, thank you so much for making time.